Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. Basically, we're picking up where we were last time. In verse 3, it says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take unto them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall ye make your count for the lamb." In verse 5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." In verse 6 it says, "And ye shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the doorposts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it." Lord, I'm asking you to help me. Lord, once again I stand behind your holy desk, attempting to break your word and to give it to the people, to share what you have, to feed the people, you said. In my own understanding, in my own power, my own reasoning, my own abilities, my own intelligence, I am not qualified for the task. But Lord, you said that we're to proclaim the word of God, and we're to tell of the wonderful things that we've seen and heard and read about, and that it's your job to defend your word. We're to proclaim, but you, Lord, are the one that demonstrates in the hearts of those listening the truth of your word. So with that in mind, Lord, help me to lift up Jesus Christ. Help me to glorify him. Help me to magnify him. And we're careful to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if you were listening last time, I went over these same verses. And we focused on the dates here. It says in verse 3, "In the 10th day of the month, they would take a lamb." And in the 14th day, in verse 6, that they would kill it. And we said that in verse 5, that the lamb would be without spot and without blemish. And we also said that there were these 4 days that the people were to inspect the lamb. They were to spend time with it. They were to inspect it for any scars. Or maybe the lamb had a broken leg or something. They were to make sure that the lamb that they chose was without blemish. And we said that this lamb, the Passover lamb, was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. That this lamb of the Passover was a picture of Jesus Christ and foreshadowed the Lamb of God that John talked about. "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Now, throughout the Old Testament, you will find pictures, you will find shadows, you will find prophecies. All of the Old Testament was written so that we could find Jesus Christ, so that when he came, we could recognize him. In some of the most obscure places that you would want to think about, you'll find Christ. Some places are, like I say, obscure. Some places are blatantly obvious that the passage is talking about Christ. But in this particular passage that we're talking about here, Christ is made very plain to us if we will only open our eyes and look. But we said that these 4 days of inspection, I said that he was in the temple 4 days before the people every day being inspected, and no one had anything to say against him. No one said, well, you know, you've got this blemish, you've committed this sin, or you've spoken this wrong doctrine or given this false prophecy or anything. Nobody said anything like that. Now today I'd like to take a more in-depth look at the events that led up to Christ's crucifixion and also his resurrection. And I'd like to start first by saying that I've done some research over the last couple of days. I did some research a number of years ago. I've listened to sermons here, I've read books here and there. And generally, we try to make sense of the different passages that speak of prophecy. And we try to piece them together and try to understand exactly what thing happened in what order and what particular year and what day of the week or whatever. And generally the authors or the lecturers, whatever, they generally will agree, but maybe one will say that this thing happened on this day and another one will say, well, no, that's not right. Perhaps it was some other day. And in my research, that's pretty much how it's been. So what I'm going to say to you is my best guess, the best study that I've been able to do. I'm not positive that my chronology is exact. I think it's pretty good. It's the best that I can come up with. Again, having studied the Word of God myself, having gotten counsel from some local leaders here in town, doing some research on the internet and some stuff that I had done some time back before and recalling what I had studied. But there are a few things that I'd like to look at, and we'll see what the Lord will show us. In the book of John, John chapter 12, verse 1, it says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table, and etc. In verse 3, it talks about Mary. She took a pound of spikenard or some sort of spice or something, anointed his hair and his feet. And he made a comment. In one of the other Gospels, this act that she had done was recorded. And one of the disciples said something about her wasting this ointment that could have been sold for a lot of money and given to the poor. And Jesus said that it was done for his burial. Now, Jesus had mentioned many times that he would die, and he came to Jerusalem this particular time in order to be crucified. And they didn't understand and whatever, and that's an entirely different sermon that I could probably preach. But he's talking about the fact that he will be crucified. But this is 6 days before the Passover. In verse 12, I believe, it says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat upon it, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, in other words, after he was resurrected, then they remembered that these things were written of him. Now it says that they remembered that these things were written of him. And what that is saying is that all of the things that happened to Christ, all of the things that he did and what have you, these things were recorded before they happened in the Old Testament. And that is one of the hallmarks of the Word of God. It's full of prophecy. Prophecy is generally something that foretells the future. We can say that, well, I know what's going to happen tomorrow, and maybe you can look and see events in a specific area and say, well, I know what's going to happen tomorrow. Or maybe in a couple of years, you know, maybe the stock market will take a dip or it'll rise or something, and maybe you can kind of sort of predict a little bit. But if you're going to prophesy about the things pertaining to the Word of God, you have to be completely 100% accurate. And as we read the Old Testament and then afterward read the New, we find that Christ was accurately foretold to have done these things. Many people study prophecy, and I'd like to say many people talk about studying prophecy, and their focus many times is on the second coming. Now, I know that Christ came the first time, and I know he will come the second time, and I enjoy reading about the second coming in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, perhaps in the book of Matthew, chapter 24 and 25, or the book of Revelation, or the book of Daniel. And those things are important. And we need to be looking for his second coming. He's going to come as a thief in the night. He's going to come when we're not expecting him. Jesus is coming back. And we need to be ready. We need to win the lost before he comes, as many people as we can. And we need to be living a holy life so that we're not found wanting when he comes. And that part of prophecy is very important, but there's another part that many times we think is too boring, and so we overlook it or something. But the prophecies of his first coming are very, very important, very startling sometimes. When you read something that was done in the life of one of the Old Testament fathers or something, then you see that Jesus endured the same thing. For instance, Joseph, he suffered and suffered and suffered. Then you look at the life of Christ, and he suffered. And I don't want to digress too far into this, but suffice it to say that the Old Testament, on practically every page, shows you Jesus Christ. Now, going back to the book of Exodus, like I said, in chapter 12, jumping ahead a little bit, but it talks about, in verse 15, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses, and etc. But in verse 16 it says, in the first day shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation unto you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. Only that may be done of you. Now these things are important. The Passover was a holy day. You could not work on the Passover. It was like a Sabbath in that you couldn't do any work. The very next day after Passover was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This feast lasted 7 days. But on that first day, and also the seventh day, you were not able to work. And then, too, there's a Sabbath, a regular Sabbath, that is thrown in there that you could not work. And you say, why is this important? If you remember, we just read that Mary took the spikenard or whatever, this anointing oil or whatever it was, and anointed him for burial, Christ said, before he died. But let's jump over to the book of Luke in chapter 24, and I'd like you to look at something. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, now notice that the first day of the week, if you look at a calendar, the first day of the week is Sunday. If you look at the last day of the week, it's Saturday. And the Hebrew calendar is set up the same way. We know that the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week, and the Sabbath happened on a Saturday. So this is the day after the Sabbath, when they could not do any work. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, maybe 5, 6 o'clock, I don't know what time, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass that they were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, they bowed their faces to the earth, and they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember that how he had spake unto you when you were in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and etc., etc. Jesus said before he died, when he was anointed, that that was for his burial. Now these women, Mary and Martha, I don't know who exactly it was. I don't know that it says. But they came after he had been crucified and buried, and after some period of days when they could not do any work, and obviously Saturday the Sabbath being one of them, they came afterward to anoint his body. Now you know that when Christ was crucified, Joseph of Arimathea asked for the body of Christ and was given, and hurriedly put him in that borrowed tomb. They didn't have time to do the regular preparation. I don't know what kind of embalming process, or they used spices to cut down on the smell or whatever. But whatever different preparations they had, they didn't have the time to do it. They had to hurriedly put him in the tomb. Why? Because night was coming. And we know that the Jewish day starts at night, at 6 o'clock at night. The Passover day was coming. And we just said, looking in Exodus chapter 12, that they could not do any work on the Sabbath, or a day like the Sabbath, a holy day. And, of course, Passover was one of those days. And then we said that the first day of unleavened bread was another day that they could not do any work. And then there was bumping up against the actual Sabbath Saturday, where, again, they could not do any work. And I'm going to come back to that in a little bit, and we'll count the days and whatever. But what it's saying here is that when they came here in Luke chapter 24, in the first couple of verses, after he had risen, they had come, they didn't know it, but they came to finish the work of burial after these days of not being able to work had transpired. And of course they found that he wasn't there. They found the stone rolled away and the angel whatever. And you can read in the other Gospels that they give a little bit more detail. One mentions Peter going in and seeing the napkin that was neatly folded and laid aside and what have you. But you can read all of these different passages. And you can get all of the details. And again, it's sometimes difficult to place all the details together. But the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what we call the Synoptic Gospels, and they pretty much parallel each other. And then the book of John is a little bit different and tells a story from a different perspective. But again, you can piece together all of these things. And there are scholars that will spend their entire lives trying to figure out exactly what happened and when. But going back to John chapter 12, it says that on the six days before Passover that he went to Bethany. And then in verse 12 of that chapter, he says that he rode into Jerusalem. And we know the story that he rode in and he overturned the table of the money changers and whatever. But he spent the next few days going into the temple every day and teaching. And again, you can study this for yourself. But he spent these days teaching. It was 3 or 4 days, and we'll get to the counting in a little bit. But when they came to arrest Jesus, they did so at night, and he made the comment that why are you coming here like you're trying to arrest a thief? How come you didn't come when I was in the temple? How come you didn't come out in the open, but you chose to come and sneak around and get me at nighttime? He said that I was in the temple all of these days teaching, and you didn't say anything. You didn't have anything to say against me. You didn't have any fault that you found in me. Remember, Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. Now, as I said, he spent some days in the temple teaching every day. And then he was that fourth day, or that last day, in what we call the preparation day, the day before the Passover. Well, they would prepare the Passover, whatever. And in fact, they would, in the time of Christ, they killed it. But it's called the preparation day. On the preparation day, he wasn't in the temple. But he had spent 3 days before that. But in the fourth day of inspection, he was examined by the chief priests. He was examined by Pilate, and etc. And we can read the story of the Passion. So he was in the temple, as I said, basically 3 days teaching. And the fourth day, he was inspected and examined by the leadership, if you want to say that. But there were 4 days of inspection. And as we said, from the 10th day of that month, and the Hebrew name is Nisan. And again, I'm referring back to Exodus chapter 12. From the 10th day to the 14th day, you would inspect the lamb. And finding no fault in it that would be spotless, then you would go ahead and kill him. And that's exactly what happened, that just as was prophesied in the book of Exodus, these things happened to Christ. Now, we're running out of time, but I'd like to go ahead and run over a few things. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "For as Jonah, or Jonas, was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." And he referenced this 3 day period quite a number of other times. In John chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in the building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? In Luke chapter 18, verse 33, again he's speaking of himself, and it says, "And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again." Mark 9, verse 31, "For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day." Now, it was prophesied that he would be in the ground for 3 days or 3 nights or whatever. And we said that because of the Sabbaths and the holy days, that the people were not able to work, and so he was not able to be properly buried according to all the different rituals they had. The reason why they couldn't was because of the Sabbath days. But the way that these things stacked up against the actual Sabbath, it meant there were 3 days they could not work, and this coincides with the 3 days and 3 nights that he said he would be in the ground. And again, I'm really, really pressed for time. In Daniel chapter 9, it says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." Now think about that. The Messiah cut off, which means die, but not for himself. He died for us, not for himself. And it goes on and continues the prophecy. In the book of Nehemiah chapter 2, it references exactly that. The commandment was given to go back and build. And if you count up these, and I'm really jumping ahead too fast and not really explaining this, but generally Bible prophecy experts will tell you that the week stands for a year and etc. And if you count up the number of years, and again, scholars argue, and I'm not exactly sure of which year and etc., but we pretty much think that Christ was crucified in A.D. 33. And if you count up the days and what have you, and generally, I'd like to say that Christ was not crucified on a Friday. I don't care what the church down the road believes. I don't care when they say he rode into Jerusalem. But I pretty much think that in John chapter 12, verse 1, that when he went to Bethany, that was on the Sunday. And when he rode into Jerusalem, they call it Palm Sunday and celebrate it that way, but I believe that it was on a Monday. But you've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, when he was in the temple teaching. You've got Thursday, when he was taken and then examined that whole evening, that whole night. He was crucified Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. He was on the cross 6 hours. And then at 3 o'clock he expired, the time of the evening sacrifice. They hurriedly put him in the ground, in the tomb, late Thursday evening. And then Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night, he was in the tomb. And sometime before sunrise on Sunday morning, he rose again. And I know I've rushed through it, and I'm not treating it very well, but that basically is a chronology, as best as I can come up with. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.